Thank you, Mr. Hart. Hear the word of the Lord for a meditation this day. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that in the 8th century, 800 years before your birth, Lord, Isaiah was able to see the promise of the living water, the promise that you were going to go to the cross and there die and shed your blood for our salvation, and rise again from the tomb after 3 days and ascend into heaven and send your Holy Spirit upon your people. Lord, we give you thanks that you are doing a new thing. And Lord, we ask for forgiveness for the times that we have dwelt on the past and so looked to the past that we have not been faithful in the present and not hopeful for the future. So Lord, we ask you to touch our hearts with this word today. Touch our hearts and open our minds so that we may know that you are doing a new thing and that you have great plans for your people. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The good old days. How many of us have ever heard someone say, the good old days? Ever notice that when you're living now in one of the worst recessions, and one of the worst times for the state of Michigan, can you imagine that there will be people 20 years from now who will say, this was the good old days? Because the amazing thing about time is that they always have the saying, time heals all wounds. Well, time also causes us to perceive things in an amazingly rosy way. People often say when people look back, they look back with rose-colored glasses, right? We don't remember all the pain. We only remember the good things. And that's what the people of Israel were doing at Isaiah's time. They were looking back to the Lord bringing them through the waters of the Red Sea. If you read the context of the verses that I read to you, you read the context of chapter 42 and chapter 43, it's taught, the Lord goes through the prophet Isaiah, whose name means the Lord saves. He goes through over and over and over again what he has done for the people to bring them to this point. He tells them, I brought you through the Red Sea. I defeated Pharaoh's army. I brought you through. I'm going to bring you through Babylon. You're going to return. I'm going to do all these things because I have formed you. I have made you. I am your God, and you are my people. And yet, it's funny because St. Paul kind of says the same thing in our epistle lesson today when he says, I leave all these things behind and press on towards the goal to win the prize that Christ has won for me, right? Why is it that we get stuck looking back? Why is it that when we're in our present time, how many of us remember the good old days and think about the times when all the factories were going full speed, when you could put your house on the market, or you didn't have to put your house on the market, all you had to do is had to put a for sale sign in front of your house and it sold like that. Remember those days? I've been told about that ever since I came to Michigan. hard for me to imagine, but I know that they were here, that this was people could get out of high school and go and get a job working for an automotive plant. Are these people lying, or did it actually happen? It's true, right? But when you're looking at it from right now, today, it's hard not to think of the good old days. Even in the church, don't we think of the good old days? Remember back when a lot of the people that are members of the church today had lots of children, and those children were in Sunday school and confirmation, when Lutheran schools were full and lots of people were graduating, and the Lutheran churches just had to open their doors and people would flock to them because they were coming from Germany and from Scandinavia. Remember the good old days? I was at the seminary this week, and thank you for those who prayed for me because it went well. And I have to tell you, I was extremely stressed. And the Lord gave me peace, just like He promises. And I stepped into that, you know, and I was really tested. I have to tell you this. I was tested because you know how I often, if you're not in leadership, you may not hear me pound on this, but I always pound on being a user-friendly church, meaning if people come through the door, they should be able to figure out what we're doing. If you're a first-time visitor to our church, you should be able to know where we are. Well, I went into the chapel, and they're against, you know, these type of things. They think that's, you know, dumbing it down when you put a screen up and have everything printed on there. So they think it's much more holy to have a hymnal. And so they have these brand-new hymnals, which are wonderful. I mean, I'm not against hymnals. I just think it's kind of funny that we fight over them. But, you know, what color? But they have this wonderful new hymnal, and it's actually a revision of the 1941 hymnal. Same words, but in modern English. And they don't want to, you know, tell people to stand because they think, well, everybody should know when to stand. And if you don't know when to stand, when people stand around you, then you will stand. They don't think they should tell people to sit because that's, you know, people should figure this out, you know. But at the very least, I think that the president enforced this, of the seminary, that they had to print out the service so that people could indeed know where things were, you know, like hymns, for example, and the page numbers for the service and those type of things. So I imagine that was probably an interesting fight. But they managed to get at least it printed on a piece of paper. The problem was that the day I preached was Monday, and something must have happened during the weekend, because when I got there and I went in and picked up the piece of paper, the whole one side of if you're looking at it, on the right side was cut off. The printer hadn't printed them on, and they were cut off. So the service, which is actually on page 234 of the hymnal, all it says was page 23. I can tell you something. In that hymnal, there are four different services from page 230 to 240. And when nobody's telling you where you are, it is a very frustrating thing to be sitting there. And of course, we came out, and the seminarians that were leading the service, they sat on one side, and they made me go over and sit by myself behind the pulpit. And I couldn't figure out where we were. And it was testing my patience, you see. The Lord was saying, if you were stressed out about this, I'm going to fix you. Because by the time I got to the sermon, I was so frustrated, I couldn't tell where we were. I couldn't even sing the hymn. You know how many hymns there are between page 570 and 579? And when there's a huge pipe organ going, you can't hear what anybody's singing. You know how hard it is to figure out which one they're on? All I can say is all the pages were the same, and so there were some other people that were frustrated like me. But I chose not to say anything, so I just told the dean afterwards, I said, you really know when you're out in this place. You know when you're not in, because you can't figure out anything. Anyways, but the Lord kind of humbled me, and so it went well. And it was funny because you can really tell that they're dwelling on the past. They want to recapture the glory days of the 40s. I keep remembering the 40s as as times when we were in war and rationing was happening. And they want to take back those glory days. Well, soon may happen. The reality is, we are told not to dwell on the past. The word here is benah. Can you say that? Benah. It's a Hebrew word for dwell, consider. And what it means is to be totally enamored with something. be totally enthralled with something, to be totally captivated by something. And for the people of Israel, right then, Isaiah, speaking for the Lord, is saying, you're captivated by what happened at the Red Sea. You keep thinking, can we go back to the Red Sea? What you forget was that that was an extremely, extremely unusual situation. Because they had prayed and cried and asked the Lord for 500 years to rescue them. That was not just, okay, Lord, can you fix this? And boom. It wasn't like that. They had been praying for a long time, and the Lord showed them his power at the Red Sea, for sure. But to look back to that and say, those were the glory days. Remember how many of those people that crossed at the Red Sea went into the Promised Land? Two. Were those really the glory days? Were they looking at the past through rose-colored glasses? Certainly it was wonderful the Lord did that, isn't it? The Lord brought them through on dry ground. He laid waste to Pharaoh's army. Wasn't that a great thing? Shouldn't we remember that and certainly celebrate the power of our God? Yes. That's not the. It's not saying here not to remember. It's saying not to dwell on the past. Because if we dwell on what we've experienced, if we dwell only on the good times, I hear this often in Ann Arbor. When the Word of God was at its heyday. I hear this often. It was wonderful. The world came to us. We were ahead of the curve. You know, I hear numbers like 3,000, 2,000, 2,500 people gathered together in prayer. That was the heyday. And I don't question that. I believe that. That's wonderful. The Lord poured out his power. It was awesome. Don't you think? Praise be to God. I mean, we want him to show up and pour out his power. But the problem is you can't live in the past. You have to live in the present. And right now, I believe that the Lord wants to do an amazing thing right here, right now. And he's tired of the Lutheran church that we belong to. And again, I love my brothers and sisters, but he's tired of us always looking back and saying, if we could only get back to where we were. Or just trying to survive in the present. Just trying to hold on to what we have. I believe that the Lord must be looking at us and saying, don't you get it? You're dwelling on the past. You're focused on what has already happened. Can't you see that I have great things in store for you? I found a commercial. It's actually a Canadian commercial, but it's been on the YouTube all over the world. It's for a margarine company called Bissell Margarine. And they're trying to tell people they need to think beyond outside of the box as far as fitness and stuff. But I thought it was a great illustration of the church. I was thinking that if God was looking at us, this is the way he might perceive us as his chosen people, the people he's formed to worship and the people he's formed to praise him. I think this is what it must look like for God. So let's watch this commercial. Bear with me. It's a little bit funny. You can cut it off there. Just an advertisement for margarine. What's so funny about that? They could walk. Right? It looks simple from the outside. When I saw that commercial, I thought to myself, isn't that the way the Lord looks at the church? Sees a church, we're standing here, help. 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 And yet the Lord has given us it all. He says, I have formed you myself. You are my chosen people. I have poured out my Holy Spirit upon you. I've given you everything you need and more. Do not dwell on the past, for I am doing a new thing. Brothers and sisters, I'm begging you, just like I would if I was in that building, take a step forward. Just take a step. Because the Lord wants to release us. He wants to show us His power. He wants to give us even more than we can imagine. And I'm not a prosperity doctrine person. I'm just telling you, He has done and will continue to do and wants to do even more than we can fathom. Do you believe me? He's just asking for us to think beyond our experience. For many people, it's their experiences that keep them from moving forward. It's like these people on the escalator. It's, you know, they haven't experienced, you know, walking on an escalator, so they just think you have to stay on the step. Can't take that step forward. They're captive to their past. They're captive to their experience. And God wants to be even more than our experience, right? To be even more than our past. He wants us to see His power and what He can do for us. I'd like to see God be able to look at His church, and instead of us standing there asking for help, although He wants to help us for sure, don't get me wrong, I would like Him to see us when the escalator stops, saying, oh well, an opportunity to walk. An opportunity for us to see things from His perspective rather than from ours. Are you open to that? If you are, the Lord wants to show us His amazing plan for each one of us and the love and the grace that He won, the promises and the forgiveness that He has won for us on the cross and the empty tomb. Do not dwell on the past, for I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing.